Welcome to the Regional Report. I am B. Doe, and this is the place where we tell you all about great nonprofits and organizations that are out there for us and how we can help support them. I don't know if you've heard this, but caring for your heart is important. That's why I'm stoked to have Sean Cody, the Deputy Branch Chief in the Epidemiology Branch of the Division of Cardiovascular Sciences from the NHLBI, that's the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, joining us on the Regional Report. Sean, could you have a longer title?
I'll think of one. You know, I'm going to write that down as an action item to come up with something longer and more complicated.
I love it. Those are a lot of big words. That leads me to believe you might know what you're talking about. First, break down what the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute is, and then we're going to get into why it is so important to care for your heart and how there might be other challenges if you don't live in a big city.
All right. Well, the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute is one of 27 institutes that make up, you know, what we refer to as the NIH, the National Institutes of Health. Our mission, as you might have already guessed, revolves around heart and heart diseases, the lungs and lung diseases, blood diseases. And we actually have within our mission as well sleep. So we are focused on both primary prevention, which is sort of my bailiwick, but also, you know, a lot of the treatments, some of the underlying mechanisms for all those conditions as well.
Well, I'd love to hear more about the sleep aspect of your studies and work, but let's start from, like, you know, the 30,000 foot view and just kind of explain what is heart disease and what do we know that causes it these days?
All righty. Well, heart disease is really kind of an umbrella term. There's a lot of different conditions that would come under that umbrella of heart disease. But, you know, I think we can really kind of focus on the real biggie, which is coronary heart disease.
Okay.
And coronary heart disease is really about the arteries that deliver the oxygen and the nutrients to the heart itself. And so things like narrowing of those arteries, blockages in those arteries, you know, they can cause major problems and significant damage to the heart. So in terms of causes, you know, it's not like, you know, certain kind of viruses or the flu or something where there's one specific sort of cause. There's really, you know, we've set out over decades to try to understand all the different causes. You know, it has to do with the things we do, our exercise and sleep and diet, where we live, you know, what is the environment in which we live, our own support systems like neighbors and family and things that might help us reduce stress, and then our own biology. So all these things, they can interact and either increase our risk or potentially lower our risk. So we're focused on trying to understand all of those factors when it comes to heart disease.
Well, you're going to hear a lot of big terms and just a lot of words on the Regional Report today talking about heart health. You can go and research and get all this great information at nhlbi.nih.gov as well. Speaking with Sean Cody, I'm going for it again, Sean. He's the Deputy Branch Chief in the Epidemiology Branch of the Division of Cardiovascular Sciences at the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. Growing up, you've kind of mentioned it, that we've been told different things of what causes the heart disease. Where are we today? How can we as humans protect our hearts and our families' hearts? What can we be doing proactively to prevent a heart disease?
Well, that's such a great question. You know, we know really the big bullies in the room, and that being your blood pressure. You know, high blood pressure is really a big risk factor for heart disease. You're also your blood levels of cholesterol. You know, you sometimes hear about good cholesterol, bad cholesterol, so the bad cholesterols can really contribute a lot to heart disease risk. If you're a smoker, that's going to put you at high risk. If you are overweight, that's going to put you at high risk. You know, some of the other things, like if you're feeling stressed all the time, you know that you're not getting enough sleep, or that your sleep is poor. You know, you almost wake up feeling tired, even though you just, you know, got just woke up. So all those things are probably some of the biggest ones. And if you want to start to address those, you know, I sort of suggest beginning with the little things. You know, you don't have to make just dramatic changes overnight, but start to do the little things. Start to add in a little bit more fruits and vegetables into your diet. If you can get even just a little bit of exercise, 20, 30 minutes a day of even just walking, those can start to have tremendous impacts in lowering your risk.
This is kind of fascinating to me, Sean. Why do people in rural areas seem to have a higher risk of developing heart conditions or failure than people that live in an urban area? Can you tell the listeners about that?
So it's actually, you know, some of the things that we were just talking about, things like diet, things like exercise, knowing your numbers, you know, being able to go visit the doctor, those can all get harder in rural areas. We've had an epidemic of hospital closures. And so just visiting for a routine doctor visit can end up being a big challenge. There's what we call food deserts, where that access to healthy food, it's just becomes harder. The resources may not be available within smaller rural counties to have things like walking trails or, you know, being able to organize farmers markets, you know, for more healthy foods. At the same time, though, you can also have within rural areas things that might help. People tend to have a greater sense of community within rural areas and have stronger social groups, and being able to join church or community groups, those can actually start to reduce your risk, reduce the stress, and start to reduce your risk. So even within rural areas, they're not all the same, you know, and we've seen even within Louisiana, say, where there are areas, rural areas that end up being at higher risk and some at lower risk. So even though our rural areas are not all the same, just kind of in general, we tend to see higher risk in those parishes or counties that are more rural.
Chatting up Sean Cody here on Regional Report. He's with the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. Sean, you mentioned know your numbers. I think it would be important for anybody listening to this program to know what the heck those numbers might be and why they should know them.
So the first one is going to be your blood pressure. And so the higher the blood pressure, it can create various stresses on arteries and things like that that start to increase the risk for, you know, there's a whole cascade of things that happen that will create damage to the arteries and make them more susceptible to things like blockages and stuff like that. So know your blood pressure. Your cholesterol, you know, they talk about bad cholesterol, and that bad cholesterol can then start to feed things that'll increase those blockages. The other one is your weight. So understanding your weight, if you need to reduce your weight. So those are really some of the key numbers that a person should likely know and understand.
You can get all this great info at nhlbi.nih.gov or just Google National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. They do a great job of staying on all of the social media as well, if that's where you like to consume your information. But people visiting that site, Sean, kind of give them a breakdown of what other resources are available to the public at the website.
In terms of the NHLBI, probably a lot of what I'm talking about. It can also inform you on what research is going on. You know, just some of the other resources that are out there that could be very helpful to folks. There's the hearttruth.gov. The American Heart Association also has a lot of great information. You know, in terms of prevention, we try to keep our messages around what we call Life's Essential Eight. And that has to do with your diet and exercise and your sleep and keeping those messages to some of the things that people can undertake on their own to start to reduce their risk of heart disease.
I love the fact that you speak of the research and that it has shown you can lower your individual risk for that heart disease with those preventative steps that you talked about. Be physically active, eat a healthier diet, manage your stress, don't smoke, get enough actual good sleep, control your blood pressure, cholesterol, and diabetes. And as you said earlier in the interview, you can take baby steps towards this because that might put too much stress on you if you're just like, okay, one day I'm doing all of that hardcore.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up in Tennessee. I grew up in the South. You know, you don't have to really make huge changes overnight. I try to have, you know, the fruits in the morning and a banana, you know, and but come Saturday, if I want, you know, if I'm somewhere and there's biscuits and gravy, that's okay. You know,
you're going for it.
Just start to take those steps and things start to get easier. And, you know, I think I'd probably remiss if I didn't mention that improving your heart health has a lot of other benefits. A lot of these things that you do to improve your heart health, they'll lower your risk for dementia or cognitive decline. They'll lower your risk for strokes. They'll lower your risk for problems with your kidneys. So there's a lot of benefits here just really by starting to take the simple steps.
Well, it is a fact that more than 100 million adults in the U.S. have some form of heart disease. It's the leading cause of death in the U.S. And as Sean has kind of listed out for you today, it is preventable. We can proactively work against it. And I love the fact you threw that in there, that taking care of your heart health is kind of a future casting of maybe taking care of your brain health when it comes to lowering the risks of dementia, Alzheimer's, and all of that. And if you've had a friend or family member have to go through that, why wouldn't you do everything that you could, not only to take care of your heart, but your entire brain? It's Sean Cody, the deputy branch chief in the epidemiology branch of the Division of Cardiovascular Sciences from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. I really appreciate you educating on all of us here on Regional Report about our heart health. Sean, before I let you go, though, do you, words of positivity or wisdom for the listeners out there that you need to make sure they understand when it comes to their heart health?
That's probably just reiterating, you know, knowing your numbers, get in those fruits and vegetables, start doing some little things like just walking 20, 30 minutes a day. You know, just get out there and you know, be proactive. I like the way you said it, being proactive, starting to address your own heart health.
And as Sean told you, it's those baby steps. Turn those bad habits into good habits. And you don't have to do it all at once, but do something to take care of your heart. And as Sean said, your mind. Sean Cody from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, appreciate your time and appreciate all the great work you're doing to hopefully advance our heart health here, not only in Central Texas, but in America and the world, brother. Thank you for your time today.
All right, thank you.
I am B-Doe. Hope you enjoyed learning a little bit about how to take care of your heart. And now you have an asset to really dive deep. It's the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. Spread the word about taking care of your health, your heart, and the Regional Report.